Jaya Nishingadev, Jaya Nishingadev, Jaya Nishingadev, Jaya Nishingadev. Jaya Prahlad Maharaj, Jaya Prahlad Maharaj, Jaya Prahlad Maharaj, Jaya Prahlad Maharaj. Jaya Narahari, Jaya Narahari, Jaya Narahari, Jaya Narahari. Nithai Gora Haribol, 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 Haribol.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 8, text 15, chapter entitled Attaining the Supreme. This is the Sanskrit. I'll read the Sanskrit and we'll read the translation purport. Translation. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna speaking. Maam upetya punarjanma dukkhalayam ashasvatam napnuvanti mahatmana samsiddhim paramam gataha. Translation. After attaining me, the great souls, who are yogis in devotion, never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries because they have attained the highest perfection. Purport. Since this temporary material world is full of the miseries of birth, old age, disease and death, naturally he who achieves the highest perfection and attains the supreme planet Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavana, does not wish to return. The supreme planet is described in the Vedic literature as avyakta, anakshara, and paramagati. In other words, that planet is beyond our material vision, and it is inexplicable. But it is the highest goal, the destination for Mahatmas, great souls. The Mahatmas receive transcendental messages from the realized devotees and thus gradually develop devotional service in Krishna consciousness and become so absorbed in transcendental service that they no longer desire elevation to any of the material planets, nor do they even want to be transferred to any spiritual planet. They only want Krishna and Krishna's association, nothing else. That is the highest perfection of life. This verse specifically mentioned the personalist devotees of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. These devotees in Krishna consciousness achieve the highest perfection of life. In other words, they are the supreme souls. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Devam Nita Swamini Tinamine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Destarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nittananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavanda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So this is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, speaking in the Bhagavad Gita. And he's making it clear the nature of the world we are in. It's not Krishna's fault that we are here. Krishna doesn't say, oh, this is a nice place, you know, very rosy and very peaceful. We just have to be positive and do yoga, pranayama, you know, go for walks in the beach and read new age books and everything will be okay, we just have to stay positive. Now Krishna is making it clear in this verse, this is a world, it's full of miseries, it's temporary. Krishna makes it very, very clear throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, you read any of the Vedic literatures, it's very clear that it's not Krishna's fault that we are here. We wanted to be here. It's our choice. So today is 9/11. And 10 years ago was this disaster happened. This terrorist attack. It's a very sad thing. I mean, each one of us know very clearly, we've seen like thousands of video clips about what happened. So What is Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam say about these incidents? What is our Vedic point of view? What is the Vedic perspective? So from the spiritual point of view, this entire material world is like that World Trade Center. After being hit by those planes, it's on fire. The fire is actually burning in every living entity's heart, within and without. People are suffering. So we shouldn't just say that, oh, you know, it's just their karma. We shouldn't just be so insensitive to say that, or they're reaping the, you know, what they themselves have sown. That's true. That's the truth, actually. At least we have this understanding. We have an answer for why these things are happening. Most of the world, they're actually bewildered. When these tragedies happen, everybody is just like confused. Everybody is shocked. Even big religious leaders, you know, they come in public and they say like, you know, things like, where was God on 9/11? I really want to ask Him if I get to see Him. Or people are bewildered and they ask like, why these things happen to good people? Everybody, when things are going very smooth and they win the lottery or something nice happens, nobody thinks of God. As soon as something goes bad, immediately we question, where is God, you know? How could you do that? So this is our ungratefulness. But in Krishna consciousness, we understand that Krishna is impartial. Krishna loves every soul. But if a living entity foolishly does something, then he faces the results, faces the reaction. Just like a judge. If you're a good citizen and you've done something amazing for the state, you show up, the judge gives you a gold medal. But if you're a serial killer, you show up in front of the judge, it's not like the judge hates you, but he hangs you. But it's not the judge's fault that you have killed so many people in a row. The judge is just neutral. He blesses people that are good citizens, and for the good of the criminal and for others, he punishes the person who's done the wrong. So similarly, Krishna does not administer or encourage people to do these evil things. But according to our activities, you know, we're creating our own karma. Like a silkworm. With his own saliva, he becomes entangled. He becomes this cocoon with his own saliva. Similarly, our activities, they're binding us. And they bring upon us this terrible amounts of suffering. It's a very spiritual science, is not being negative. And therefore Krishna's warning in the Bhagavad Gita and other teachings that, you know, this is not your home and you shouldn't act in a certain way and you should act in a certain way. That was the whole message that Krishna gave to Arjuna. It's out of love, Krishna's warning. It's like one time we went to Jagannath Puri and I had a relative, there, and my mother was staying there with the relative and she was saying, come stay with me. I said, no, I'll stay only in ISKCON temple. I was a fanatic back then. And she was very concerned. They said there's warnings of tsunami out, and the temple is very close to the beach. So she said she had a sleepless night because I didn't listen. I went to the temple and I stayed there. Krishna's mercy, nothing happened. But just the same way, you know, Krishna is looking out for our welfare and is giving us this warning. And even though it's true that people are facing their own reactions, their consequences, but as spiritualists, it's our business to interfere and save them. We should actually feel for them and then give them relief. Just like in the New York, there were firefighters. They were big firefighters. They're considered like the heroes in America nowadays. Just for Halloween, you know, kids like to dress like Spider-Man and hobgoblins and whatnot. But after this 9/11, all the kids, they wanted to dress like firemen because they saw them as heroes. Because these fire people, they were not an illusion. And they went in the building that's about to collapse. They knew, but still somehow they wanted to go in and help these people that are suffocating and dying. So similarly, we spiritualists, transcendentalists, we have to bring this rain cloud of God's mercy. Not us, great souls like Prabhupada has done it, we just have to distribute them. To extinguish that blazing fire of material existence. Due to ignorance, people are burning and suffering in material life. And people have no clue what's going on in this world. We don't want to sound arrogant to say this, but just ask around any of your family or friends or teachers or musicians or politicians. They have no idea, like, what is this world, who they are, where are they coming from, where are they going. No idea. It's just like living like animals, living on instincts. I feel like eating, I'm going to eat. I feel like sleeping, I'm going to sleep. I feel like mating, I'm going to mate. Just get some money and everybody thinks you're a nice guy. People have no idea. It's like this, when the Trade Center was hit, there were so many calls. These people that are stuck in the buildings, they're calling their loved ones. And these people are just panicking. The people that are stuck in the building, poor guys, they're suffering. They just didn't expect. The last thing they expected that morning was to be in that situation. So they're just panicking. They're just like bewildered. They're just confused. They just don't know what to do. And they're calling their loved ones. And imagine them. They're just like saying, the loved ones are saying, the wife or husband or children or father, you are coming home, okay, tonight. You are coming home tonight. This is all they could say. What can anybody do to these people that are stuck? And these people are saying, I don't think so. It's getting really stuffy in here and hot in here. I don't know what to do. And they're calling the 911. And the police on the other side are so dumb. And they're saying, what's your last name? Can you spell your last name, sir? And this guy is spelling his last name. And again, down the conversation, she's saying, what's your last name? This guy said, I just told you 50 times my last name. It's not the time to tell you my last name. And she goes, okay, what does your room look like? Can you describe? And he's like, I can't breathe. I'm about to die. Is anybody coming to help me? So don't get mad at me, sir. You got to cooperate and talk to me. And this guy is like, okay, forget you, you know. Just hang up. And there are people calling and they say, I'm dying. There's this girl like freaking out. I'm dying. Is there anybody can help me? I'm dying. It's getting really hot here. They don't even know that the plane hit, many of them. They just don't know what happened. They're just seeing the colleagues are jumping out the window and it's getting really smoky and super hot, you know. They just don't know what to do. They have no idea what had happened. Even there are videos that are showing that there are people on the ground floor, and when the plane hit the roof, they didn't know that it's going to collapse, the whole thing. Many of them just talking business down floor, like they came out, they're just thinking like, okay, this is the police will come and rescue them, but in the meantime, you know, it is a busy working day, let's discuss some business. They're just standing there, no clue what's going to happen the next minute. So this is, and then the next few seconds, the whole thing collapsed, and for like, you know, half a mile, everybody was dead, everybody was devastated. So this is the position that Krishna says, ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate, that we're living in this world, but we have no clue of the nature of the world, who we are. It's amazing. Until I received the Bhagavad Gita, I didn't know that there was a difference between me and the body. Hare Krishna. I didn't know there was any difference. You take this body, which is like, you know, growing old and getting diseased and dying, to be the self. You take the mind to be the self. And you're just like running around trying to gratify the bodily and mental needs. We have no idea. So how is these people are going to know what to do at the time of death? It's just like whatever we are doing during the life, the death is like an examination. Unless we prepare ourselves, we wouldn't know what to do. And these thousands of people, there were like 2,000 people that died in the Trade Center. Not even one person knew what to do at the time of death. People had no idea. They were not prepared. Just like when I'm asked to give class, you know, you usually like too many things rush into your head. You can't prepare for the class last minute. It's not possible. It's just you get too nervous, you get too excited, you know too many things, you know, you sit down to read the book, you want to read a different book, you want to listen to a lecture, you like, at the end of the day, you like, haven't even prepared like one paragraph. Same thing, we have to prepare like all month long, we have to prepare the class, so in the class, you're asked to give the class, then you speak. Similarly, life means, it's not like last moment, you know, generally in India we have this, you know, thing that when you're young, you enjoy, you know, spirituality is the old people. You give your rotting old body to God, you know. You enjoy yourself as much as possible when you're still stout and strong. But this is not possible. It's not going to happen. Because last minute, you're just like a parrot. You don't know what to do. So Krishna consciousness trains us what to do at the time of birth, what to do at the time of death, and what to do in between. It's a whole science. That's why you see devotees living in the temple. We have a lifestyle, we have a sadhana. We do certain things we do and certain things we don't, because it's a preparation. And Krishna and the devotees, not only Krishna and devotees, all the major spiritual teachers of the world have said the same thing. Whether you take Buddha or you take Christ or you take Muhammad, they were all talking about Krishna, by the way. It's not like there's so many religions and every religion has a God. They're all talking about Krishna, they just have a different name in their language. And they all said the same thing, that this material world is a place of suffering, it's not our home. You cannot try to make a permanent situation in a temporary world. Therefore, all the major teachers, spiritual teachers of the world, they said the same thing. Use this human form of life to finish this business of birth, death, old age and disease and re-establish your lost love for God. And this is the message. Again and again, Prabhupada was saying the same thing. One time there was this little kid. One of Prabhupada's disciples' daughter was dying. So the mother went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, my daughter is dying. Prabhupada just yelled at her. What I've been telling you all these years. Everyone is dying. She's dying now. I will die tomorrow. You will die the next day. This is the nature of the world. Prabhupada said, when somebody asked Prabhupada, what does it mean when people say good morning? Prabhupada said, good morning means nothing bad has happened yet. This is the definition. And Prabhupada was also given a Time magazine, this famous magazine in America. And Prabhupada looked through the magazine and Prabhupada said, oh, this is a very dangerous magazine. Everybody was wondering, what do you mean Time magazine is a dangerous magazine? Like, millions of people read it, it's got such valuable information. And Prabhupada explained, this book is dangerous because it makes this material world attractive. It makes this world look something, but it's not. This magazine is making this world look safe and secure and beautiful. And there's a place of enjoyment and accomplishment and all kinds of things. So Prabhupada says, this is very dangerous. This is a false propaganda. If you want to know the nature of the world, you should read the Bhagavad Gita. And we can educate ourselves. Just like none of us would want to go to Libya or Syria or Bahrain and have a vacation right now. Who would want to do that? I'm sure if we don't know anything about anything, you might want to go there. So this is our position. We've come to this place out of ignorance because we are not informed. Anybody who's sane will not come to this material world and try to be successful here. It's like somebody was saying to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, why in India the death rate is so high? Prabhupada said, everywhere is the same, 100%. Nobody gets alive out of here. So this is the knowledge that's lacking. So when we read in Krishna Consciousness, we're getting this most comprehensive spiritual understanding of the nature of this world, the nature of the self, karma, reincarnation, the material universes, the spiritual universes, why good things happen to bad people, bad things happen to good people. We are educated. Prabhupada said these temples, these are like embassies of the spiritual world. This is actually the business of a temple. I've been going to many temples all my life, but you never learn anything. You put few coins in the hundi and you're praying that you want this girl, you want the bicycle, you want good grades in school, and you're playing everything that you shouldn't pray. Of course, the praying is better than being an atheist, but that shows ignorance. But the business of Prabhupada's establishing these Krishna conscious temples is where we can get together and understand the nature of this world and how to deal with the problems. See, Buddha was talking nirvana. He just said this world is full of miseries and suffering and left it at that. He didn't explain what you do next. But Krishna explains both the positive and the negative. It's nothing wrong with, you know, escaping a house that's on fire. So this is the intelligence that we should have. If we don't have this, then it's a great loss. This human form of life is achieved after many, many, many millions and millions of births. It's a very rare opportunity. It says that just like the body is compared to the cage and the soul is compared to the bird, and there are 8,400,000 species, each one of them have a different type of body, dogs, cats, reptiles, trees, aquatics, you name it. There's so many different types of cages available, and within there's a soul. And it's explained, only in the human form of life is this cage wide open. Every other species, the cage is locked. You have no choice. You have to reincarnate. You have to evolve. But when you come to this human form of life, the cage is wide open. A bird is not supposed to be stuck in a cage, it's supposed to come out and be free. So we shouldn't identify with the material situation and coverings, namely the body, society, friendship and love, and stay here again and again and again, and go through the same old thing. So the cage, the human form of life, is wide open, we have the free will. We can perfect our beings just by attentively reading the Bhagavad Gita, at least once. These books are so potent, even if you just read once, it will take over your intelligence and it will be guided what's right and what's wrong. At least once we should take our time to read the books. Many times I'm distributing Bhagavad Gita, it's very painful to see our Indian people, you give them a book. Gita, they say, oh, I have the book. I say, have you read it? So, you know, when I have more time. When will the day come we're going to have more time? We've never read even the Bhagavad Gita. This is not a good sign. So just by reading Bhagavad Gita once, and by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, so much fun. We can perfect our lives. And Krishna promises, Tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti sarjuna. Krishna says at the time of death, whatever consciousness, whatever you think of, that's where you're going. So if you practice all life long, reading the Gita, chanting Hare Krishna, seeing the deities, naturally we can, you know, become free from this cycle of birth and death. This is a science, this is the perfection of human form of life. And anybody who don't take advantage of this, according to the Bhagavatam, is like an animal. Even animals will get offended nowadays if we compare these modern human beings with the animals. You know. I heard actually an article, I read this article, this is really amazing. In China, they keep these bears in cages, and they, when they're still alive, they poke them in a certain gland to get this, you know, whatever you call it, like bile or something out. Because apparently it helps the human being's health. So there was this mother bear. She was kept in the cage and every day she was poked and tortured to get this thing. And one day the mother actually gave birth to a baby. And the baby was kept in a separate cage and the baby was also tortured every day. And the mother one day had an opportunity, she broke out of the cage and ran to the baby and strangled the baby and killed it. Because she didn't want the baby to go through the suffering that she is going through all life. And then this bear also ran into a wall and committed suicide. It's a true story. So even animals have this intelligence. Who wants to, you know, bring offsprings that's going to suffer and I'm suffering myself as it is. And that's what the Vedas say, that human beings, it's our duty. It's said in the Bhagavatam, don't become a father or mother, a guru or politician or a demigod if you cannot deliver your dependents from the cycle of birth and death. This is the foremost duty of the parents. Or anybody who's under your protection, it's your duty to liberate them from the cycle of birth and death. Not just like feeding and clothing and sending him to school. That's not it. We have to educate them in spiritual science. This is our responsibility. This is what the dependents are there for. This is a science. So Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they actually explain that how every species, every moment in this material world is going through some terrorist attack. Some are magnified and published and, you know, we hear about, sometimes we don't. There's a terrorist attack going on within the womb of mothers. In this world, every day there's millions of, you know, babies are being aborted. That's horrible. So many innocent animals, as we are talking. It's explained just in America alone, every year there are like 30 million cows are slaughtered. That's not including the bulls and the calves. What is that? Who talks about the sufferings of these innocent creatures? Nobody talks about them. Nobody goes to the rescue. They're just being mercilessly slaughtered. So in this way, there is like attack going on everywhere. Some we are aware of, some we are not. It's like I was talking to this one Japanese guy. I didn't say, he said it himself. I was distributing a book, and then I was very sorry that, you know, the tsunami hit Japan. And I was showing the books about, you know, meditation, yoga, karma, like this. When it came to the painting of karma, the man with the bull's head and the bull with the man's head in the Bhagavad Gita, he said, you know what? Now I see this painting, it gives me the realization that we Japanese, we are messed with so many aquatics for so many years. Now our karma has come back to us in the form of water. I was shocked this guy had such a profound realization very quickly just seeing a painting. How many, you know, whales and how many dolphins and seafood, you know, Japanese, very famous. And then you get reaction coming back. So this is the position. And our real intelligence, our perfection of life, is to use this short human form of life, not just to go to work and make money and eat and sleep, but to understand the subjects and understand the responsibilities that we have in the human form of life. And this is the solution, the Krishna conscious solution, for all the problems of life. Krishna explained, just by understanding these teachings, even if you put in the worst dangerous type of fear, you're not disturbed. Because you think, okay, you know, if not today, tomorrow or another day I'm going to die, but the warning is here, let me just meditate on Krishna and chant Krishna's holy name and let me go back to Godhead. It's like when Prabhupada was a young man, householder, there were war going on in Calcutta. There were bombings and Prabhupada was making kachoris. All his friends were hiding in the bomb shelter. Prabhupada were making samosas and he was taking prasadam. And Prabhupada says, this is Krishna, you know, coming in the form of bomb. It's a universal form. For Prabhupada saw even the bomb as Krishna. And said, if I'm about to go now, no worries, I'll go back to Krishna. This is, you know, great opportunity. So anyway, there's some things I wanted to share with you all. If you have any questions or comments or anybody wanted to add anything, we have like few minutes left. Is that cabinet open? Can we pass the microphone? It's locked, okay. You can ask any question or add something. And you have, yes, Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu. Please enlighten us.
You were talking to people all the time when you tell them about Krishna consciousness in the Bhagavad Gita. You tell them you how to live your life and be happy and become peaceful. And they have the right to say, this is the problem. I'm happy. I have a good job.
For those on the internet, Advaita Chandra Prabhu is asking, when you give books to people, they say, I'm happy and everything is going nice, so how do you convince the people to take the books? Well, one of our acharyas called Prabodhananda Saraswati, he gave us a formula. He said that when you meet somebody that is thinking they're very happy, don't challenge them. He said, glorify them, compliment them, And then they think, oh my God, you know, first time in my life somebody is so nice to me. So they say, oh, you're so nice to me, like, what can I do for you? And then you tell them, throw away all the nonsense you have learned so far and take to the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So we have our Bhrigupati Prabhu who's trained us all on book distribution. That's what we do. We don't actually confront people. I mean, this is like in-house talk, you know. When you go outside, we're like cool guys, you know. We're like positive. So you just tell them, like, we like your hairstyle and you look like a spiritual guy. You look so happy. This is on yoga, meditation, Eastern philosophy. Gandhi read it. The most peaceful politician you can find. And this is an alternative to all the craziness in this world. So take one, give a donation, leave it at that. So we don't challenge them, we just encourage them. We see the good qualities people have and encourage them and hug them and thank them. And you know, it's like Prabhupada said, it's an art. You go in like a needle, come out like a plow. So last thing you want to do is like, you know, even though you're saying the truth, people don't want to hear it. People don't want to hear it. It's just too much for them. So you don't like confront them, you just, you know, give the medicine, candy coated medicine, because the children, they don't like bitter medicine. So we have to become, it's our responsibility. Like this morning, we heard a lecture from Prabhupada. It said, if people are not coming to Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said, it's not their fault, it's your fault. Because you don't know how to present Krishna consciousness, therefore you're a nonsense. So Prabhupada said, we have to become expert doctors. We have to know how to administer the medicine. Of course, we are not wrong. Even, you know, you told them like, you know, like Christians, if you don't take to this, you're going to become an animal, you're going to hell. It's true. But they may not want to hear that. So we got to, you know, we got to know the art. We have to pray and we have to become expert at presenting Krishna consciousness. It's a career. We have to become good at it. We have to meditate on it all the time. And also like Prabhupada said, if you do something for 7 years, you become good at it. So if you keep doing it, even imperfectly, a day will come. Krishna says, Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. Krishna says, I'm within everyone's heart. From me comes remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. I'll give you the intelligence how to deal with people and bring them to Krishna. Is there anything else? Yeah. Yes, mother.
I went to the kitchen and walked in the store and I had some girls with me. And she was an Afghanistan lady, beautiful lady, but she was kind of like, you are Indian and I'm Pakistan and I'm my own religion. So kind of a lot type of thing. And then I, like you said, talked to her, religion and everything. She talked about the giving all of our children and everything. She starts reciprocating with me slowly. I was there for 15 minutes with her. And then she ended up letting me put the books in there with her. She had a tailoring store. And then I said, I'd like to give you a gift, two books for yourself. So she kind of really accepted it and took it. And that day I didn't have the higher days with me. And so I was talking to her and she said, well, we don't need any outside meat, but it has to be allowed.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Advaita Chandra Prabhu and Sita Thakurani Mataji, they're very amazing disciples of Gopal Krishna Maharaj. They're also doing book distribution store to store. Mataji is just sharing her experience how she went to this Muslim lady shop from Afghanistan and spoke to her sweetly. And this lady, even though first she was reluctant, she said, I'm from Afghanistan, took the books and, you know, was very nice to her at the end. This is what I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah, people are not foolish, you know, they know, because everybody wants to take from people. And people are sick of that. But if you actually genuinely want to give something, then they let the guards down and they open the hearts and they... That's wonderful. Hari Bo. Yeah, yeah. People are like so convinced they're going to heaven, regardless of who they are. And everybody else is going to hell. Thank you for your kind attention. We'll have prasadam now. Hare Krishna. Yeah.